Our Father in heaven, we are deeply thankful that we are your children. And we recognize that it's only because of your goodness and grace that we are able to gather together this day in your presence as your children, to know that our sins have been forgiven, that we've been cleansed, redeemed by the precious blood of your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you've sent to this world in order that he may die for our sins. We thank you, the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to bear the punishment that was due to us. We thank you now for this life that you've given to us. And we ask that you help us, that we may know what it means to walk in your ways. Father, we recognize there is much to learn, many things we do not yet understand. But we thank you for the Spirit of God that you have sent to this world, the Spirit of God that dwells in our heart, our perfect teacher and our guide. We thank you the Spirit of God is willing to teach us if we are willing to learn. We thank you for the Scriptures that have caused to be written for our instruction. We ask that as we continue to ponder over the truths revealed in the Scriptures, the Spirit of God will help us not only to understand with our mind, but to gain true insight into the meaning of these things, so that we may be able to live our lives in a manner that is truly pleasing in your sight, and learn to bear fruit in every good work. Father, we thank you that we can have a part in your work, and we ask that you help us, that we may not try to contribute something in the spiritual kingdom of God according to the understanding and the ways that are adopted in this world, but we may come to understand in a clearer way how to perceive things and how to go about ordering our lives and conducting in ourselves and living out our lives in such a way that we may indeed learn to contribute what will endure the test of fire. And so, Father, this evening, as we continue to consider the subject of good works and serving God, we ask that you help us to gain understanding in some of the major issues that are important for our lives. We ask, Father, that you will protect us, and you will not allow the powers of darkness in any way to harass us, disturb us, in any way to hinder the preaching of your word, or the clear reception of the truth, or in any way to harden our hearts, or to hinder us from hearkening to what you have to speak to us. We ask, Father, that you will be pleased to be in our midst, to strengthen us, refresh us, and to teach us your way. We commit this time to your loving hands. We ask and pray all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today we continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 69th message, the third major category of service, conduct, and action, the fifth message. We continue our consideration of the subject of serving God and good works. And today we will consider the poor widow who contributed two small copper coins. The poor widow who contributed two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. We've been considering the subject of service and good deeds, which we recognize to be a major issue of Christian living, an issue that all those who love the Lord will be deeply concerned about. And in particular, we want to try to understand what should be our approach, and also how we can have an accurate understanding, perception, evaluation of how believers are faring in this area and also for our own lives. In the two previous messages, we reflected on the woman who broke the alabaster vial, recorded in Mark chapter 14, verses 3 to 9. And we saw how this woman was willing to pour forth the perfume, which was very costly, worth more than 300 denarii. But yet it seems to be a waste to others around her, including the disciples of the Lord. But it was very significant and meaningful to the Lord. Today we go on to consider another incident recorded in Mark, this time in Mark chapter 12. Let's turn to Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. Mark chapter 12. Verses 41 to 44. And he, that is the Lord Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the multitude were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. And calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." We see here a poor widow who contributed two small copper coins, which amount to a cent, verse 42. And we consider the matter, we realize that this is a very small amount. If you look at the margin of the New American Standard Bible, you'll see there it says a cent is a quadrant, that is 1 upon 64 of a denarius. 1 upon 64 of a denarius. This amount that she contributed, very small amount, 1 upon 64 of a denarius. Whereas, you contrast what the woman who broke the alabaster vial was willing to pour out the perfume, and the perfume was worth over 300 denarii. You contrast two. 1 over 300 denarii, this was just 1 upon 64 of a denarius. So it may appear rather insignificant to others, and it's likely that when the woman contributed in this way, others would likely consider what she has contributed as rather insignificant. But it's quite clear from the words of the Lord Jesus that to God, her contribution was very significant. And so we note that both of these women, their contributions, their actions, both of them, their contributions and actions were both deeply appreciated by the Lord, very precious and significant to the Lord, but both of them may not appear that way to others. One gave something very costly, was scolded by others as wasteful. The other gave something very little, just 1 upon 64 of a denarius, which is easily ignored by others and regarded as insignificant, but in reality worth much more than what many others, including rich people, who were putting in large sums. If you look at the words of the Lord Jesus again, verse 43, the Lord Jesus told the disciples, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury." And verse 41 tells us that there was a whole multitude putting money into the treasury, including many rich people, and these rich people were putting in large sums. Now, if we look at the words of the Lord Jesus in verse 43, that this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, we wonder what the Lord Jesus meant by these words. But just the plain meaning of it first, verse 43, that she put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, this could mean that the poor widow, although she put in only 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent, she contributed more than any of them. She put in more than all the contributors in the sense that she has put in more than any of them. Or, the second meaning is that she contributed more than all of them together. She put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. She put in more than all of them together. The whole multitude of them contributing, including many rich people, putting in large sums, but this poor widow, just contributing these 2 small copper coins, was actually contributing more than all of them put together. The former meaning, that she has contributed more than any of them, is already a very remarkable statement of the Lord. But the latter meaning is even more remarkable, that she has put in more than all of them put together. And if you look at the words, the plain meaning of the words, it may seems that the meaning of the Lord here is the latter. That is, that she has contributed, put in more than all of them together. The words, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. This could be what the Lord Jesus meant. Is indeed a truly remarkable statement. And we may ask ourselves, how could this be so? How could this be so? How could this poor widow, who has merely contributed 1/64 of a denarius, contributed more than all the contributors to the treasury, including many rich people who put in large sums? We may also ask ourselves, what can we learn from the Lord's observations, from his remarks? The first point that's helpful for us to take note of is that the way the Lord views and measures our contribution can be very different from how other people generally do so. The way the Lord views and measures our contribution can be very different from how people generally do so. And what appears to be little, insignificant to others can be worth very much, can be very significant to the Lord. And that means in reality is very significant. When the Lord views it as significant, it means in reality it is very significant, even though it may appear insignificant. Conversely, what appears to be much more, much greater contribution may in reality worth less than what appears to be much lesser contribution. So for example, the rich man, they're putting in large sums. It appears to be much greater than the 2 copper coins put in by the poor widow. But in reality, it's worth less than what appears to be the much lesser contribution of the 2 copper coins. Verse 43, and calling his disciples to him, he said to them, calling his disciples to him. The Lord Jesus was observing what was going on. Verse 41 tells us, he had observed how the multitudes were putting in money into the treasury, and what this poor widow was contributing, how the rich people were contributing. And having observed these things, he called his disciples to him, and then he began to speak to them. And this calling his disciples to him in this way to speak to them indicates, of course, that he has something to speak to them, and the manner it is presented, calling them to him, and then also the words, "Truly I say to you," indicates to us that there's something that the Lord is concerned about that he wants to tell them, something of significance. He wants to draw their attention to something. He has something to teach them, to help them to recognize. Something he wants them to understand. And this is the perfect teacher at work, teaching his disciples. If you link this with the words, "Truly I say to you," the "truly I say to you" in this context indicates an emphasis. There is something of importance. He wants the disciples to pay attention. Pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. And there are indeed truths of deep significance involved in the words of the Lord Jesus. And in this context, it may also imply that what the Lord Jesus is about to say, what he's about to tell the disciples, is not easily recognized, not easily understood. Not how people usually view the matter. And indeed, we notice what the Lord Jesus here is rather remarkable. But he prefaced it by saying, "Truly I say to you." These are words of truth. This is the way to view this situation, to accurately perceive what is going on. That though this poor widow put in only 1 upon 64 of a denarius, she has actually contributed more than all the other contributors, including the many rich who had contributed large sums. And so we can say that there's an indication here by the Lord to the disciples to consider what he has to tell them, to reflect on this matter as he drew the attention to the issues involved here. The issues are important and they are not easy to appreciate. And so likewise, we should also ponder, consider, reflect on what the Lord has to teach us through this incident in the verses that are recorded. Second point, the Lord's assessment and measurement of our contribution is not based on the amount and quantity alone. The Lord's assessment and measurement of our contribution is not based on the amount and quantity alone. Although the amount and quantity are not irrelevant, but he does not measure just on the basis of amount and quantity. This is very obvious. If that were the way he measures, then clearly the poor widow couldn't have contributed more than all the other contributors to the treasury. We may then ask ourselves, what does the Lord look at? What does he look for? How does he measure our good deeds, our good works, our service to him, so that we may then be able to respond properly and contribute well? Although there are various aspects that are helpful to ponder about and consider when we try to understand how the Lord measures and assess our contribution, we can say that a primary aspect of it, which can then help us to understand why the Lord made the statement that the woman contributed more than all the others, is this. A primary aspect of it has to do with the meaning and quality of it. Not just the amount and the quantity, but what does it mean? The meaning of that contribution and the quality of that contribution. The meaning and quality of it. And this is directly related to the meaning within the person contributing, being manifested by the outward act. What is the meaning within that is being manifested by the outward act, which gives rise or which gives the quality and meaning to the act? You can say, what motivates the person? Although the way we often use or we may tend to think of the term motivate, it may not fully describe it. But perhaps we can also say that we can consider the quality and meaning of the response. The quality and meaning of the response. The moral and spiritual quality within, or the lack of it, which gave birth to the outward manifestation. So normally when we talk about motivation, we associate with whether there's purity of motive, what kind of motive. But when I talk about the quality and meaning of the response, the moral and spiritual quality within, it includes such motivation, the purity of heart, but it also includes when you contribute something, for example in prayer and other aspects, the whole quality of that response, which includes not only purity of motive or lack of it, but also the degree of spiritual stature attained by the person, and the whole quality of the meaning behind that response of that person. So the moral and spiritual quality within, or the lack of it, which gave birth to the outward manifestation. But the amount and quantity given is not irrelevant. So for example, in the area of giving financially or in material things, giving little, it may mean that the person is unwilling to part with his possessions, with his money, or the person is clinging to it, not generous, not giving as he or she should. So giving little may mean that, and so we need to be a bit careful about this area and not deceive ourselves when we just think about how we just catch on to this statement, it's the quality and meaning of the response that counts, not the amount. Then we may, if we are not careful, deceive ourselves and say, yes, I give little, but together with that little, there's so much meaning within that motivates my giving. Whereas in reality, you have given little because you're not willing to part. You're clinging on. Now this principle will go on and has application beyond just financial giving in relation to how we go about responding to the needs in the Lord's kingdom, the way we go about contributing to the Lord's work, how much we work at, quantity and aspects that are recognizable in form in our contributions, all these are not irrelevant. How much accomplishment, they are not irrelevant. Of course, we need to understand what is the true nature of what is termed as accomplishment. Is there real quality in it? Which then again bears a direct relationship with the quality and meaning within that gave rise, that gave birth to those acts, and the way we work at and seek to contribute to the Lord's work. In this way then, we can try to understand and becomes clearer to us why the Lord made the remarks concerning the poor widow's contribution. That in the eyes of the Lord, the woman contributed more than all the others. As far as we can see from this context, it has a lot to do with the meaning and quality of her act. She contributed more than all the others because of the meaning and quality of her act. The meaning and quality within her, which gave rise to this outward expression. So although the outward expression is just a contribution of two small copper coins which amount to a cent, in the context as you look at it, this woman was humbly giving her all. Verse 44 tells us, they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on, although she was poor, Though poor, she was willing to do her part, to contribute her part. And not only willing, she was willing to give sacrificially. And let us also bear in mind that what she was contributing, it may appear insignificant to others. It may be ignored by others. It may be regarded as nothing by others. But though this may be so, this woman still faithfully contributed. Whatever other people may think, whether they're going to ignore it, regard it as insignificant, she faithfully contributed what meant very much to her, because she was poor. These two copper coins was all that she had. She faithfully contributed what meant much to her. And this is an aspect that is helpful for us to ponder about and to learn from this attitude of the poor widow. And she has done so as an expression of sincere and deep love for the Lord as she gave her all. From here we can also say that she was living by the principle of the willingness to give our all. We must learn to live by this principle, the willingness to give our all to the Lord, whether it be area of money or other aspects, other areas, we are willing. However, I see it is helpful to recognize also, it's not just the willingness to give all that is not sufficient. We mustn't think that so long as we give a lot, we give all that we have, it will be pleasing to the Lord. You'll be just like this poor widow. No. Not just willing to give our all, but we must be with the right attitude and a spirit of love. This is quite clear if we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. Paul was talking about how you can have speak with tongues and prophesy and have knowledge of all kind of faith and so on. All this will not help you if you do not have love. And verse 3, he says, and if I give all my possession to feed the poor, if I give all my possession to feed the poor, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. So it's quite clear here, the woman was not just giving her all, but the Lord appreciated it because it was in the right spirit, with love. So it was primarily her attitude and the quality of her love and devotion to the Lord that motivated her giving the two small copper coins in this context, in this manner. Although she was poor, although this was all that she had, and that is why the Lord deeply appreciated her contribution. That is why her contribution was so significant. And in this sense, we can say that what this poor widow had done, her deed, her contribution, is just like the woman who broke the alabaster vial. The same kind of direction, same kind of attitude. Although there, the one who broke the alabaster vial poured very costly perfume worth over 300 denarii. Here, this poor widow didn't have that kind of very costly thing to contribute. She only had these two small copper coins. But the quality of it and the meaning and the significance of that contribution was there, even though she had so little. And so let us then take note that it's not just how much we give or what we do or what we appear to have accomplished. It's not just these things. How much we give, what we do, or what we appear to have accomplished, but the attitude and the quality of love and devotion to the Lord and to the people, love for people, which motivated our actions, which the Lord appreciates. And this is helpful for us to ponder about. And not only that this will have a significant bearing on whether the Lord is going to appreciate and to what degree He appreciates what we do and give and what we appear to accomplish, but also it affects the quality and significance of the contribution in the spiritual realm. This is a very important truth for us to ponder about and to take note. It will affect the quality and significance of the contribution in the spiritual realm and in God's kingdom. And I think this aspect is included in the pronouncement by the Lord that the poor widow contributed more than all the others. That is, not merely that the Lord appreciated it, not only that the Lord appreciated what she has contributed more than the others who are contributing, but that she actually contributed more. The Lord is saying that this poor widow put in more. She has contributed more. Not just the Lord appreciated it more, but that she actually contributed more. That means its significance. If you count it from monetary terms, she has not contributed more. But in reality, she has contributed more. In what sense? I think here what the Lord Jesus is trying to communicate is that its significance. Its significance in the eyes of the Lord, which has a bearing on its significance in the true contribution in the spiritual realm and the Lord's kingdom. That contribution is rather significant and more than what the others were contributing. This is an important point, but not easy to understand. How a small contribution like this can actually be rather significant in the eyes of the Lord, in the Lord's kingdom. The third point, I want then to ask this question. Do we feel we have little to give? Do we feel we have little to give? Many of us can easily feel this way, that we have little to give. Do we feel that way? It's important. Do not refrain from giving, from contributing what we can do so meaningfully, healthily, as a member of the body of Christ, because we think we have little to contribute. It would be a very sad thing if the poor widow didn't contribute because she thought she had little to contribute and she withheld, because a significant contribution would then have been withheld. And this is something that we should prayerfully ponder over. What would happen if this poor widow looked at her two small copper coins and she looked at all the others who were contributing? And she knew there were rich people putting in large sums, and she thought to herself, what are two small copper coins? And she withheld. And the Lord says, yes, when she contributed, she essentially contributed more than all the others. And she withheld. And the most significant contribution would have been withheld. It would have been a very sad thing if she had done so. And in principle, this will apply not just to money, but even in regards to money, we also should not feel exempted because we have little to give. Or rather, we feel that we have little. What we can contribute is just a little. Let the rich give. This is not a healthy attitude to adopt. But let us learn to look to the Lord, to ponder in every aspect of our lives. What is it that we can meaningfully contribute before the Lord in His eyes? What would be meaningful in His eyes in our context? Even though it may appear little, let us learn to contribute what we should. What would be meaningful in the eyes of the Lord? And so, generally, in the various aspects of our lives, as well as in the various aspects of the outworking of church life, it is very important for us to learn to contribute what we can do so, what is appropriate for us in our context, to contribute our part in church life. Let us be careful not to bury our talent, like the slave in the parable told by the Lord Jesus in Matthew 25. The slave was entrusted one talent by his master, and he went and he buried it. Let us not refrain, withhold, either because we are unwilling or because we are neglectful or because of misconception, thinking that it's so little that we can contribute. Why should we, what for, do it? Let the others who can contribute more, let them do it. Whether I do so or not doesn't really make a difference. Let us be careful. It may appear insignificant to ourselves, even to others, but let's take note. If our attitudes are healthy and proper, let us take note. Though it may appear insignificant, if our attitudes are healthy and proper, the Lord appreciates it. And this should be the most important to us. Even though it may appear insignificant to others, even though nobody takes notice of it, the poor widow putting in the two small copper coins, nobody may have noticed it apart from the Lord. It doesn't matter, even if nobody notices it. Or even if other people notice it and regard it as nothing, as insignificant, if the Lord appreciates it, isn't that sufficient for us? And if our attitudes are healthy, we can contribute something, however little it may be. It may appear insignificant, but the Lord appreciates it. B, it may actually be rather significant. It may actually be rather significant. Its significance may go far beyond what we are aware of, what we realize. It may actually be rather significant, in reality, rather significant from God's perspective and in His true contribution to the Lord's work in the Lord's kingdom. C, which is an aspect that I want to elaborate and emphasize, and important if we can gain insight into this important truth in church life. And that is, if all of us and each one of us contribute accordingly in this way, in the outworking of church life, with the right attitude and the right spirit, this is very significant. It is very significant. If each one of us contribute wholeheartedly with the right attitude, contributing what we can meaningfully do so, whether in prayer, in a time of worship together, as we learn to encourage one another in various contexts, help one another in various practical ways, in our prayer meetings, in our time of worship together, during home fellowship group meetings, in the outworking of church life generally, if there's a kind of spirit, attitude, and the way we work out together in church life, that would then be a conducive spiritual atmosphere and context in which the Spirit of God would be pleased to work, in which the Spirit of God will have freedom to work deeply. A context where the Spirit of God will be pleased to reveal, to edify, and then to enable us not only to contribute but also to work out what we have come to understand. That is, in the context of the proper working of each individual part. The proper working of each individual part. And if this takes place, it would then lead in the direction of the body then being built up in the context of love. And the name of the Lord will be glorified and exalted in the midst of His people and in the spiritual realm. And that would be a context where the Lord's purposes can be effectively worked out. His purposes effectively worked out in two senses. One is, as the congregation, as the members of the body of Christ work out in that way, that in itself will already be a direct fulfillment of the Lord's purposes, because the way the Lord's people are being built up and the way they express true and deep fellowship and love for one another and love and fellowship with the Lord, that already would be a central aspect of the fulfillment of the Lord's purposes and also working out the Lord's purposes effectively in the sense of the strength and the potential and the development of the congregation in its capacity to contribute to the Lord's work outside and apart from the group itself, but to the Lord's work generally. This area of truth is an important aspect, a rather important aspect of what sometimes is termed as the vision of church life, and as revealed in the scriptures. And this is an area that is important, that we must gain an insight into this, not just recognize it with our minds. But if we can gain true spiritual insight into this, as well as to attain it, this would be a major and important aspect of church life as the Lord intends and the potential that can then be worked out, that we can then contribute effectively to the fulfillment of God's purposes. Conversely, if we withhold, withholding can be rather serious in implications, especially if this becomes a general feature. Different ones, just withholding, for whatever reasons, including the sense that there's little to contribute, and so we withhold, whatever may be the reasons, which are not appropriate, for inappropriate reasons when we withhold. So I'm talking about withholding when we can contribute meaningfully in that context. So do you think that you have little? Contribute to the degree that you can do so meaningfully, but do not overstretch yourselves, do not overstrain. Ponder over it, pray over it. If you're willing but you're uncertain in the whole way you should contribute and so on, not so sure whether is it wise, you can always discuss about it with those who can help you in that direction. But the important truth and principle I want to communicate is that we must learn to contribute what we can meaningfully do so. I go on to the fourth point. The principle of sacrificial giving. The principle of sacrificial giving. Verse 44. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, the poor widow, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on. They gave out of their surplus, but not for her. She gave out of her poverty. And so we should also ponder over it and learn for ourselves that we should be willing to give beyond just merely out of our surplus. Only when we have a lot, when we have abundance, then we are willing to give some. No, not just out of our surplus and out of abundance. And not just in the area of material things, of money, but we must be willing to give whatever we have. Willing to give of ourselves, willing to give whatever the Lord has first given to us, our time, our energy, our resources, whatever it may be, and most of all, to be willing to give of ourselves, not just when we sense that we have plenty, when it's very convenient, but even when it is difficult, even when we will feel the pinch, even when there's a cost to be paid. When we feel the pinch, not just in the area of the fight of money, a cost to be paid, not just when it's money, in monetary terms, even when it is costly. We must be willing, we must be ready, whatever the cost. The only questions we should be asking is not how much it costs, then we are willing, but rather we should only be asking whether is it appropriate? Is it really pleasing to the Lord? Is it wise? Is this really what the Lord would want me to be involved in, to contribute, to work out in this context? That should be the only questions we are asking, or we should be asking. Not an unwillingness to be involved when it is going to be costly, painful, difficult. This kind of attitude, this principle of sacrificial giving, giving of ourselves truly, is an important feature in the issue of service and good deeds. And this kind of wholeheartedly willing to live our lives out in this way for the Lord and for the Lord's people and for the Lord's work has a significant bearing on the quality and meaning of our lives, of our actions, as well as the significance of our contribution. The fifth point, verse 41. And he, the Lord Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the multitude were putting money into the treasury. The Lord Jesus sat down and began observing. I want to reflect with you on the principle of the Lord observing. Now, during his time on earth, it was this way. He sat down and observed. But now, the Lord is still observing. Not just at that time. He's still observing. The Lord is not indifferent to what is going on this earth. He's not indifferent as to what is going on in our lives, how we live out our lives. And even many areas which may appear rather insignificant, the Lord is observing. He's observing every aspect of our lives. The Lord is not indifferent to what is going on in our lives. A. Nothing escapes His eyes. Let us realize that nothing escapes His eyes. He's the omniscient God. He sees all things clearly, accurately. And so let us not be unduly bothered about whether other people can see or not, whether they recognize what we are doing, whether they are taking notice of what we are doing. In fact, the very entertaining of these thoughts are not healthy. Just doing things that people can observe and take notice. Or thinking that there are certain things we are doing that are not meaningful, they are not positive, even negative attitudes that we harbor, nobody notices, nobody knows. Let us recognize that every positive as well as negative act, every neglect, every failure, the Lord takes note. As well as every positive attitude in our hearts, He realizes, He knows. So let us not only act or do what others can recognize and see, or feel a sense of a lack of incentive to act because it's not likely anybody will take notice of it. And this is common. Often, when others are aware, then we have the incentive to work harder. Let us not live our lives on that basis. We shouldn't need that kind of incentive, but we must learn to be motivated by the truth. What is meaningful in the eyes of the Lord, and act on it. And the Lord is observing, He knows. Nothing escapes His eyes, whether positive or negative. B. The Lord's perception is accurate. Not only see, He sees all things, but He sees all things perfectly accurately. He will not misunderstand us or the nature and meaning of our acts, our actions, or that of others. And so let us realize that we cannot hide from Him, and neither can we deceive Him. Even if we manage to deceive all others. And even if we even rationalize and convince ourselves, justify to ourselves, even as we justify to all others, let us recognize that we cannot escape from reality. we cannot change reality if we just learn to rationalize and justify, deceive others or ourselves. We cannot change the reality of what things really are by such ways. And the Lord perceives accurately, which means that he perceives the reality rather than the appearance. So it's no use concentrating on appearance. Let us learn to concentrate on reality. Let us be more concerned about reality rather than on appearance. Let us also learn from the Lord to learn to perceive things accurately the way the Lord does, so that we may know how to live our lives properly, accordingly, in a manner that's truly pleasing to him. The sixth point . Those who appear to contribute much may not be contributing much in the eyes of the Lord. Those who appear to contribute much may not be contributing much in the eyes of the Lord. And so let us take note and beware. Beware of a false sense of well-being, a false sense of doing well on the basis of measurement by outward accomplishments. But to realize that the Lord looks at our hearts, he weighs our motives, he perceives accurately the real meaning and quality of our acts and contributions. And the real meaning of the real meaning and quality of our acts and contributions, as you've seen, bears a direct relationship with the meaning and quality within which motivated the outward expression. So let us learn to concentrate on developing good qualities within and good attitudes. Nurture the inward man. If we want to contribute something significant in the Lord's work, we must nurture the inward man. Some of the rich giving large sums may be under the false sense of having contributed much when it was not so. Of course, it varies. Some has, their attitudes may be better. But I'm saying amongst the rich who are giving large sums, there could be some who have a false sense that as they were giving large sums, they may have this false sense of having contributed much when it was not so in the eyes of the Lord. And so, as throughout this message, I want to emphasize that the principle we are considering does not just apply to giving financially, but the whole way we approach serving God and contribution to God's kingdom. Seventh point. Contrast what the poor widow did and the Lord's commendation with the Lord's remarks in the preceding verses in Mark chapter 12. Verses 38-40. Let's look at Mark chapter 12, verse 38-40, just preceding the incident we've been looking at, verse 38. And in his teaching, that is the teaching of the Lord Jesus, he was saying, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like respectful greetings in the marketplaces and chief seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets, who devour widows' houses and for appearance' sake offer long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation." So here's a description of the scribes and false religion. Those who concentrate on the outward and on appearance. Verse 40. "For appearance' sake offer long prayers." The self-centeredness, the pride, the hypocrisy, showing off, desire for recognition and being honored by men, and greed. As you walk around, verse 38, in their long robes, they like respectful greetings, being honored by men, chief seats in the synagogues, places of honor, pride, devour widows' houses, greed. for appearance sake, offer long prayers, false religion, self-centeredness, hypocrisy, these will receive greater condemnation, highly displeasing to the Lord, that incurs his wrath and condemnation. And we know in other contexts, the Lord Jesus pronounced woes and judgment on the scribes and Pharisees. And yet, within themselves, they may consider themselves as all right. And not only as all right, they may think that they are doing well in a sense of self-righteousness. In the parable told by the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 18, we'll just glance at it very briefly. The contrast. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14. We have looked at these parables from time to time, and including just a few messages ago when you're considering prayer. Verse 9, the Lord Jesus said he told this parable to certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They thought they were righteous, self-righteous. They still thought that they were righteous. And then he went on to give the example of this Pharisee. They thought they were all right. They were doing well. And they viewed others with contempt. And then you see this Pharisee, the way he prayed, even in prayer. Verse 11, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. And he said, I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get. All these outward observances, but with the wrong kind of attitude. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get. And he thought that he was doing well. He was all right, doing well. In contrast, you can see that what the poor widow did was refreshingly meaningful, like a breath of fresh air. You can see that if you look at what is described, or the records in verses 38 to 40 of Mark chapter 12, if you ponder over the Lord's description here. And the Lord Jesus, the words of the Lord Jesus, to beware of the scribes and what they were doing, the kind of way of going about their lives. And you contrast that with the verses that follow, and the life and attitude and conduct of this poor widow, you can say that it's like emerging from a damp, smelly dungeon into the refreshing morning sunshine. There's fresh air, there's beauty of nature, the greenery, the beautiful flowers, and the birds singing. The kind of difference. Now consider with you some concluding remarks. The woman who broke the alabaster vial, she was scolded. The poor widow who contributed two small copper coins, which amount only to a cent, likely to be unnoticed, ignored by people generally. You see the common issues, the issues common to both. Both tend to be regarded as insignificant contribution, worth little, in relation to service and good deeds. But both were very significant, and both meant very much to the Lord. In both incidents, the Lord drew the attention of the disciples. Truly I say to you, take note of my words, learn. They are words of truth spoken by the one who is faithful and true. This is the correct perspective. This is the way we should look at these things. These are important truths involved. Consider, reflect upon them carefully. There's a tendency for wrong perception and approach in these areas. You can say that basically that's a sense of it that comes through. But, sad to say, it is still true today. the way believers often view and approach service and good deeds. The wrong concept of what is significant contribution is prevalent. And we fail to appreciate what is truly significant and valuable to the Lord, and fail to appreciate their true significance in the spiritual realm and in God's kingdom. We do not know how to assess. We tend to measure, to assess according to the outward, the obvious, what is easier to understand by way of measurement and counting. And thereby, and this is an aspect that I want to emphasize, we must take note of, we thereby miss out, we fail to properly appreciate this kind of contribution of the nature of the woman who broke the alabaster vial and the poor widow contributing the 2 copper coins. This kind of contribution, which is so precious and significant in the eyes of the Lord, we often fail to appreciate it. But it's not just these 2 incidents. What I want to highlight, to emphasize, to draw out is the principle of it, the meaning of it, for us to ponder over. Even as we have reflected on these 2 incidents, why is it the woman who broke the alabaster vial, caused the perfume and poured it on the Lord's head, why is it she was scolded? Why was she misunderstood? Why is it that the Lord appreciated it? And likewise, the poor widow who contributed 2 copper coins, easily ignored, unnoticed. Now why is it the Lord Jesus says that she's contributed more than all the others? What are the issues involved? Let us ponder, let us learn, that we may then be able to perceive accurately. And so, in the light of learning to view things accurately, let us learn then to view things accurately. A, do not underestimate, belittle contributions of those who may appear to contribute little. Be careful. Do not underestimate, do not belittle the contribution by others, which may appear to be little. But more importantly, let us learn to appreciate what is in the heart of those who are contributing. Let us learn to appreciate, to look at the attitude, the meaning in their contribution. Let us not be too preoccupied just by the outward, the obvious, but learn to appreciate what is in the heart of those who are seeking to contribute, the attitude and the meaning in their contribution. This is important. B, on the other hand, we must also learn not to overestimate, overwrought, unduly impressed by those who may appear to be contributing much, but actually it is not so. Or we may even be influenced, or even try to learn to live in that kind of way, when actually it may not be very meaningful in the eyes of the Lord. Let us ponder over our lives and how to view things accurately. Learn to perceive accurately the real meaning and quality of those contributions and the true significance in the eyes of the Lord and in God's kingdom. But in this regard, a word of caution that we must be careful not to adopt an unhealthily critical spirit or to become overconfident of our observations, or concluding too quickly or too definitely. I've tried to raise a number of issues that we can ponder about to help us to learn how to perceive things more accurately. But let us be careful not to become unhealthily critical, unhealthy critical spirit, or to be overconfident of our assessment, our observation of things, too definitely, when things are not so clear, and whether we're in a position to be so clear and confident of our assessment of things. But it is right, if our attitudes are proper, to try to learn to perceive accurately and to continue to look to the Lord to help us. to grow in the process of accurate perception of things. But of course, in the end, really accurate and true perception develops in relation with our own personal development. As we grow more mature, if we also know how to perceive, how to go about it, what to look out for, then our perception becomes increasingly accurate. C concentrates more on ourselves, for ourselves. A and B is more on as we perceive others, but C more for ourselves. Learn to contribute effectively in our own lives. Learn to contribute effectively. Not just what appears to be significant. Let us learn to contribute effectively, not just what appears to be significant, but what is truly valuable. Let us be careful not just to concentrate on a lot of things that appears to accomplish much, the obvious, the outward, but actually not significant in the eyes of the Lord. On the other hand, also learn not to be discouraged, thinking that we have little to contribute. Do not be discouraged. Thinking of little to contribute, and thereby nothing significant to contribute, but to realize that the quality and reality within is what matters to God, and not only that, that is the primary issue in determining whether our contribution is significant. Because as we grow more mature, that will also be a significant factor. But maturity is linked also to quality and reality within. That is the primary issue. But this means that each one of us and all of us can participate and contribute meaningfully and at times significantly in the eyes of the Lord, if we learn to honestly sort out our lives before the Lord, if we truly love Him and we seek to walk in His ways, we can contribute meaningfully. Even though we may not appear to be able to accomplish a lot, if our attitudes are healthy, we can contribute what is meaningful in the eyes of the Lord. And so let us learn to move in that direction, live our lives in this way, and to learn to do so with conviction, consistently. Live this way. Make sure attitudes are right, and then learn to contribute what we can do so meaningfully, and to realize as we do so that this is a vital aspect of healthy church life. Let us take note that what the poor widow contributed was significant, but such contributions are likely to be unnoticed and its true significance not recognized. We ponder about it, this is quite likely to be the case. Though significant, likely to be unnoticed, and its true significance not recognized, what the poor widow did. And likewise, to realize that this also can happen today. Not just in specific instances, in the lives of individuals, but I now want you also to ponder about beyond the context of individuals and specific instances, but in a wider context of the Lord's work, that this also can happen. The point is significant. Ponder further about it, its significance. That is, there can be significant contributions to the Lord's work, and yet it may take place without believers generally taking much notice of it or recognizing its true significance. This can happen today. Significant contributions, deeply appreciated by the Lord. And it makes a significant difference to the Lord's work. It may be going on, but believers generally may not take much notice of it, may not recognize its true significance. On the other hand, it's also true that there can be contexts where there can be much that appears to be accomplished, but in reality, little is accomplished. This can happen, ponder about it. The issues involved in the two incidents, the woman who broke the alabaster vial and the poor widow who contributed a cent, these are significant and important issues for us to ponder about and to pay heed. And it's interesting to note that these two incidents recorded in Mark's Gospel, they are recorded so close to each other. They are actually separated only by Mark chapter 13, which is the chapter on the second coming of Christ. If you note the incident on the poor widow who contributed two small copper coins, the last few verses of chapter 12. And then chapter 13 is the chapter on the second coming of Christ. And immediately on chapter 14, we see the context and then the narration of the woman who broke the alabaster vial. And I see it is helpful for us to reflect on the issues we've been considering, the issues we can learn from these two incidents in the light of Christ's second coming. How we should work out our lives as we look forward to the coming again of the Lord Jesus. As we ponder about the coming of the Lord Jesus in this kind of context, especially for those who love the Lord, there can easily arise, and properly so, a strong sense of urgency in the Lord's kingdom, the Lord's work. There is much to be accomplished in building God's kingdom and our desire to serve the Lord well. And there's a place for this. This is in order, and it's true in a true sense. It is important to have this sense of urgency. But in such a context, this kind of urgency and looking forward to the coming again of the Lord, and to be ready for His coming and to contribute to the Lord's work in that kind of context, there's a tendency to emphasize on and to concentrate upon what would produce results that give a sense that much is accomplished. There is a tendency for this kind of thing to take place. To emphasize upon and to concentrate upon what will produce results that give a sense that much is accomplished. And these things do take place. There's a need to be careful. Is it appearance or is it reality? Is it really much that's being accomplished in reality, or is it only appearance? The truths which we can learn from these two incidents, and what the Lord Jesus wants us to consider, to ponder over, to take note. Truly, I say to you, these truths are very helpful in this context. If you are able to gain insight into the central truths we've been considering, and really appreciate them and adopt them, it will be very helpful for us individually and together as a congregation, as God's people, how to equip ourselves, how to go about contributing our part in the light of Christ coming again, that He may truly appreciate. What we contribute, and that what we contribute may be of significance in the spiritual realm, in the Lord's kingdom, and the light of eternity. Let us then briefly summarize what we've considered for today. We've been considering the subject of service and good deeds, and today we considered the poor widow who contributed two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Even as in the previous message, we considered the woman who broke the alabaster vial. Her contribution was deeply appreciated by the Lord, significant. What she contributed was very costly, the perfume worth more than 300 denarii. But you're scolded, seems a waste, but it's meaningful to the Lord. Today we consider the poor widow. She contributed what appeared to be very little, just two small copper coins, which amount to a cent, just 1 upon 64 of a denarius. Easily unnoticed, ignored, regarded as insignificant in the eyes of others, but very significant in the eyes of the Lord. In fact, the pronouncement of the Lord Jesus is that what this woman has contributed is more than all the other contributors, including many rich men who are contributing large sums. Why is this so? There are significant principles and issues for us to ponder about as we ponder over the Lord's words, his observations, his remarks in this context, and what we can learn for our own lives as we desire to serve the Lord and on the subject of good works. And so we notice that the way the Lord views and measures our contribution can be very different from how others generally do so. What appears insignificant to others can be very significant to the Lord. On the other hand, what appears to be much more, much greater contributions may in reality be worth much less than what appears to be the lesser contribution. And as the Lord Jesus called disciples together and said to them, "Truly I say to you," there are indications, especially in this context, the nature of the context of how the incident took place, that the Lord is trying to draw the attention to something for them to ponder about, something he desires to teach them, because a tendency for people to view these things in a different way, which is not accurate. He wants them to consider, to reflect upon it, to take note of what he has to tell them, to draw the attention to some precious lessons that he can teach them so that they can then perceive things accurately and know how to respond well to the Lord. And we know that the Lord's assessment, his measurement of our contributions, is not just based on amount and quantity alone. If that were so, clearly the poor widow couldn't have contributed more than all the rest. Though amount and quantity contributed is not irrelevant, the primary aspect has to do with the meaning and quality of the act, of that contribution, which is directly related to the meaning within, being manifested by the outward act, the quality and meaning of the response, the moral and spiritual quality within, which gave birth to the outward manifestation. And so in that light, we can appreciate why the Lord Jesus said that the woman contributed more than all the others because of the meaning and quality of her act, as she humbly gave her all, willingly, sacrificially, though she was poor, though her actions may not be noticed, may be ignored by others, faithfully she contributed her part as an expression of sincere, deep love for the Lord, living by the principle of willing to give our all to the Lord. And so we need to learn also of our own lives to concentrate not just on how much we give, what we do, but to concentrate on the quality and attitudes within us, to nurture our inward man so that there will be real quality in our acts, which not only the Lord would appreciate, but would also make that difference in its significance in God's kingdom and the spiritual realm, which is likely to be part of the meaning of what the Lord Jesus says, that she contributed more than all the rest. Not just the Lord Jesus appreciated it more, but that she actually contributed more. And so it is important for us also to learn that if we do feel at times that we have little to give, that we must be careful not to then refrain from giving, from contributing. As we see that the widow, if she had withdrawn, withheld her contribution, it would have been a sad thing, a significant contribution withheld. But more importantly for us to realize that, especially in the context of church life, if each one of us learn to contribute meaningfully with the right spirit and attitude, our part, then it will be very significant as in that context the Spirit of God guides us, have the freedom to reveal, to work, to teach, to edify, and to enable us to properly fulfill our part, leading to the proper working of each individual part. The body then being built up in love, and the congregation in a position to contribute significantly to the Lord's work, because the potential of church life can then be realized in the context of the believers growing unto maturity. So let us not refrain just because we think we've little. If our attitudes are right and healthy, the Lord appreciates it, and it may turn out to be rather significant. But even more so, if all of us do so, its implications are very significant and far-reaching in the context of church life. But if we withdraw, the implications can be very serious also, especially if it becomes a general feature. But we still also have to be careful not to overstretch ourselves, to overstrain, to go on to do things that are not appropriate for us. But if we are uncertain, we still must maintain the willingness and also discuss, if we are not clear how we should contribute our part, we must also be willing to adopt the principle of sacrificial giving, of giving of our lives, of ourselves, not just willing to do something when it is convenient out of our surplus and abundance, but even when it's difficult, even when it's costly. Giving out of our abundance is in order only when we view it from the sense of developing well. In that sense of spiritual abundance, we contribute. But in the context that we are considering, the giving, the not giving just out of abundance has to do with the material. Even when it's costly, not just out of surplus, we must be willing. So that is the principle of when it costs, when you feel, even when it costs us something significant. The woman was poor, willing to give her all. It meant much to her, the little that she had, but she was willing. The Lord is observing, not just in that incident, but even more so today. He sees everything. Nothing escapes his eye, whether positive or negative, and his perception is accurate. We cannot deceive him, even if we deceive all others, including ourselves. Let us also beware of a false sense of well-being, and that we are doing well on the basis of measurement by outward accomplishments, but to realize the Lord looks at our heart. Let us also then, as we conclude this message, ponder over the significance of what the Lord Jesus is trying to communicate to us. That this whole subject of service and good deeds can be easily misunderstood, as well as the whole approach adopted. What took place long ago when the Lord Jesus walked on earth? In principle, the truth that the Lord Jesus was trying to teach, emphasize, these are areas that are still taking place today. We need to learn to perceive accurately and to know what to concentrate upon for our own lives, and especially as we recognize the nearness of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. Let us learn how to equip ourselves, how to serve him well in the context of the coming again of the Lord Jesus. To learn to adopt the right attitude and approach, the right emphasis, what to concentrate upon. Let us now ponder over our view of things, how we should view things. What are some of these important aspects and truths? Ponder over before the Lord that he may grant us true insight and how we can adopt them in our lives. Not just something that we hear for the time being, that we recognize and acknowledge, but after that, it fades away. But they may become a part of our lives. Let us also, as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper, ponder over the life, the attitude, the approach of the Lord Jesus. Also ponder over our lives, the areas that are not pleasing to the Lord, to forsake them, whatever corrective steps that we need to take, aspects of our lives that we need to work at, positive areas, aspects in church life that we can contribute our part, that we can contribute meaningfully. Let's ponder over them. In what way can we contribute? What is not beyond us? What is not inappropriate, but what is pleasing to the Lord? Let us ponder over these things as we prepare ourselves to partake of the Lord's Supper. Our Father in heaven, we recognize that you are a great God, and there are very deep and meaningful things that you desire us not only to understand but also to have a part in. We recognize that we are often shallow and superficial, and often we are not able to identify properly with what is in your heart and to enter meaningfully into what you really desire of your children. We know that there are many things hard to understand, and yet it's possible for you to make clear and to reveal even to the simplest of your children, even to those regarded by the world as those who are lacking in intellect. We know that you will reveal and teach those who are humble, who are open to you. We ask that you will help us, that our attitudes, our ways, our approach, our perception of things will more and more be in line with what you've sought to reveal to us in the scriptures and what you've sought to teach us by your Spirit. Help us to be renewed in our minds, to discard all that is contrary, all that hinders a deep response to you and effective outworking of our lives before you. Father, we recognize that on our own, no matter how hard we try, we will not be able to understand these things. And we ask that you reveal to us by your Spirit that we gain true insight. And some of the things we've been considering today, we also know are significant. And we ask that you help us not only to recognize and understand with our minds, but really to be able to perceive them with spiritual insight and able to receive them into our lives and to live our lives accordingly. Father, we pray that you will forgive us, you will cleanse us of all our sins, even as we prepare ourselves to partake the Lord's Supper. And also we know that it's only as our lives are sorted out before you, as we are right with you, only then will you have the freedom to continue to reveal to us and also to work deeply in our lives and to empower us to walk in your ways. And so we pray that you continue to reach out to us, to be patient with us, to do a deep work within each of our lives, and to help us to respond deeply to you, that we may be convicted of the truths that matter, and that we may be able to perceive things the way you do. And so, Father, we do thank you that you have called us not only individually into your kingdom, but you've also given us a context in church life to work out these things. And we ask that you help us not only to appreciate the meaningfulness of working out in this way, but also how it can be worked out well, and how we can be a healthy member of the body of Christ, to contribute our part and also to learn to receive well. Then indeed your name be lifted up and your purposes effectively worked out, that we can contribute our part in your kingdom, even as we look forward to the coming again of the Lord Jesus. So we thank you for the bread and the wine. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We pray that you will draw us into deeper fellowship with you and in one another in the body of Christ. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.